Good to have Brother Shane tonight. Of course, Pastor Shane, a good friend of mine and his family. We love him. And so it's always an honor to have him here and privilege. So Brother Shane, you come tonight and preach for us till the Lord tells you you're done.
Amen. Well, I love the music. Made me feel a little bit at home. Amen. Do you call that a violin or a fiddle? Fiddle. All right. I might hang around a while. Amen. I like that. I was up in Brother Barnes' church up in Wisconsin, and I was preaching. I said, look, I'm just an old Georgia boy. I fell out of place up here. Don't know nobody. Y'all bear with me. No boy come up to me after the service, and he said, you're not the only Southern boy here. He said, I'm from Missouri. I said, I don't think so, buddy. Poor old Missouri, nobody wants to claim them. They're neither north nor south. I know that guy thought I had the funniest look on my face when he said, I'm from Missouri, like I was a southern boy. I was like, you didn't even get down below Kentucky yet. All right. Well, I feel a little bit better tonight. And got me a new suit today. Don't it look good? Amen. Say amen. All right. You just take that and put it under the thing. You don't have to worry about it. Well, I appreciate the good word from Brother Ronnie. I like Brother Ronnie's preaching. He gets right down there where it matters. I want to talk to us tonight about an unusual subject. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. I believe this is a subject that is giving us a lot of problems today. And so therefore I feel the need to preach on this tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Verse number 14. You there? Say amen. Amen. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want to talk to us tonight on the reality of an evil spirit. You see, I believe more than ever today, there are evil spirits that are giving the pulpit problems and the preachers problems. I believe they're giving the people problems and the pews problems. Now, I know what you're saying here. You're saying, well, we're all saved here. I don't care how saved you are. An evil spirit can still have an effect upon you if you allow it to. Now, I'm not saying you can be possessed, because I do believe greater is he that is in you than in you than he that is in the world. But I am saying that an evil spirit can be let loose on you. You can entertain things you ought not entertain. It can have a direct effect upon your life, your choices, your decisions, your family, your children, and on and on and on. I believe that we're living in such a day today. Can you read my lips? Nope. Okay, I believe that we're living in such a day today that the devil is so prominent, we're living in a spirit of Antichrist. And that's where we are today. The church is operating too much under the spirit of the Antichrist than it is the spirit of God. evil is so consumed with everything and anything, you can't go anywhere without seeing it. You can't turn the television on. You can't look at the billboards. You can't talk to people. And it's a prominent thing. Y'all looking at me like y'all have never heard any of this before. All right, well, if you hadn't, you're going to. Amen. But there is a reality of an evil spirit. I believe Christians can be directly affected by it. I have seen it. I'll go a little farther. I have experienced it. I want to notice about 9,000 things this evening. Number one, I want to notice the existence of an evil spirit. Now, whether you believe it or not, it exists. And they exist because of the evil that was done in heaven, that was cast down to the earth with the devil. Not all of those are already in the chains of darkness. They will, according to Jude, they will end up there. Some are there, but there's a whole lot of them still out here today. And they are roaming around, and there is an existence of it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, when it comes to the existence of an evil spirit, we need to understand that they are, number one, typical. Understand that this is not the first time that this has ever happened in the Scriptures. It is not the first time God has allowed this to take place in the Scriptures. The psalmist says in Psalm 78:49, "He cast upon them the fierceness of His anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending evil angels among them." He said in Judges chapter 9, verse number 23, "Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem." He said in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 23, "Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets." Now, a lot of people ask this question when it comes to if God being good, how can He send something that is evil? And the simple answer is this. The evil spirit was not of the Lord, but it was from the Lord. Make sense? It wasn't of God, but it came from God. You say, well, how's that possible? Well, God has got a hedge around His children. And sometimes when we get a hold and dabble in things that we ought not to dabble in, sometimes God will just let down the curtain a little bit. And He'll allow that thing to come in and have an influence in our life. What about Job? Right? Satan had power over the home. He had power over the heart. He had power over everything. But he did not have power over the hedge. God said, Satan said, "How can I get to him? You've got a hedge about him." Means there is a stop there. Satan can only go so far. But God can't allow the devil to go a little farther. And I think that's what's happening. And a lot of people and Christians today, they are very typical. But I want to say they are also very temporary. Now, I don't believe a child of God can be completely engulfed and taken over by a devil. I don't believe that. I know some people do. But I don't believe, according to Scripture, that that's absolutely possible. But I do believe he can be affected. I believe he can be motivated. I believe that he can be influenced in a lot of ways. And that's exactly what happened to King Saul here. A person can be good one minute and the devil, and the devil in the next, it may be something to do with an evil spirit. And that's what happens to Saul. Saul is like the first bipolar case you'll find in the scripture. He goes from one extreme to the other extreme. And it wasn't because he had a malfunction in his mind. Listen, I'm not trying to discredit the body, and I'm not trying to discredit medicine today, and thank God for all of those things. But I think a lot of things can be took care of at the altar, amen. I think a lot of things can be took care of if they just get the evil spirit out of their life. I believe teenagers today are dabbling around so much with the influence and the existence of evil spirits today. And that's why they're driving them from way away from the things of God today. I believe not only that, they're telling. Remember in verse 15, the servants of Saul says, we know that God troubleth you. You're not hiding, it's what I'm trying to say. It shows up. When you make harebrained decisions that go against and just absolute utter defiance and rebellion and disobedient to God and parents and those of authority that's trying to help you, everybody sees that. You're not hiding it. You're not somebody that they can't get it all figured out. Everybody knows. Amen. You're telling. They're terrible as well. No good comes out of an evil spirit. None. Not one good. They will ruin your life. They will wreck your life. They will affect your family. They'll disrupt your job. They'll harm your marriage. They'll influence your children. They'll rob your joy. They'll take your smile. They'll hurt your testimony. They'll split your home. They'll corrupt your church. And they will move on and on and on until your life is nothing but a mess. I told you, you're not going to hear much stuff like this, but I think it's needed in today's time. Not only are they typical and temporary and telling and terrible, but they're today. They're here. Let me notice secondly here, the entrance of an evil spirit. Now we know that Saul got an evil spirit took over in his life. But I want you to understand, somewhere in the life of Saul, things started happening or allowing it get to a place where God said, okay, I'm going to peel back the curtains. It just didn't wake up one day and God say, aha, I think I'll give you an evil spirit. You see, there's things that there's an interest that takes place, and I know we all, you know, when I was a kid, my grandpa had somebody come through church and they'd preach on rock and roll and they'd mask it and play it backwards and stuff, and that stuff's true, that stuff's real. By the way, you don't hear no preaching on rock and roll no more. That stuff scared me so bad. I thought, boy, if I'd listened to AC/DC or anything like that, I was going to hell in a handbasket. I was going to get possessed by demons, and thank God that He brought people in like that. And back then, people would bring their CDs and their records and throw them in barrels and burn them. They'd get rid of that stuff, that occult stuff. Say, preacher, you ought not talk about rock and roll. Hey, yes, I ought to. It's influenced by an evil spirit. They do it through their beats, their music, their lyrics, their lights, their shows, their lives. Everything about it is designed to influence you. Amen. You don't have to go buy a Ouija board to get an evil spirit upon your heart life. You don't have to sit down and watch every horror movie to get an evil spirit upon your life. By the way, about 65% of all movies coming out of Hollywood today are horror. You ever noticed? I have a Fire Stick. Anybody know what that is? Amazon Fire Stick, you know, where you can watch all the latest movies. You can scroll down through all the newest releases. And 65 or 70% of them's got this image on the movie of some horrific demonized thing. And I think, well, I just keep scrolling, you know. It's amazing. Hollywood has desensitized us so much that we think all of this is normal. And zombies and all of this stuff. And it's amazing to me that the people that'll sit on the pews and they'll go out and get in their cars and they got a I Love Zombies sticker on the bumper. That's good preaching, brother. You don't have to worry about getting into all that stuff. It can come a whole lot less than that. Right. And I want to show you in Saul's life. Notice, go back to chapter 13. And verse number 8. Now this entrance of an evil spirit upon Saul's life, I notice comes here with about five different things. I notice Saul's self-will here. Look in verse number 8. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Now, you know what happened? Saul got tired of waiting on Samuel. And Saul done something that he was not supposed to do. He wasn't qualified to do it. He wasn't told he could do it. But he said, you know what? I want to do it. Bust a gut or die, I'm going to do it. And that is the generational thinking today when it comes to people and our young people. They're so self-willed, they're going to do it their way. I don't care what mom and daddy says. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the Sunday school teacher says. Hey, I want to do it my way. And they all want to go out in a blaze of glory like Elvis singing, I did it my way. Now that's all that started it right there. That's all that started it. Well, it's my life, preacher. I want to live it. No, it's your life because God gave you your life. And you ought to live your life pleasing to God. And you ought to obey His word and obey the authorities. You better watch it. You'll get an evil spirit that'll start to influence you. All simply started because of Saul's self-will. He's going to bust it. You know what he was? Stubborn. How many of us are stubborn? How many of us are bad stubborn? How many of us are not stubborn at all? How many of you just lied? All right? Stubborn. This is that crowd that comes to church and you preach your guts out and you see the devil trying to sift them as wheat and it's tearing their marriage up and their kids are running wild and all of these things are happening and they just sit there and they stiffen their neck and they say, must be talking to somebody else because I'm going to do it my way. Stubborn. Notice another thing. Look in chapter number 14, verse number 24. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of my enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. Now, what I'm trying to say here, not only was Saul self-willed, stubborn, but he was impulsive. He made decisions that really didn't make good sense. Does that make good sense? He was impulsive. He started making decisions based on his own satisfaction. Not caring what anybody else had to do or say. They were something of the sins of his heart. And he just kept listening to what he wanted to do. And he quit worrying about what everybody else needed. impulsive. He'd make unrational decisions, off the wall stuff that he knew better. And you find this crowd today, that's exactly what they're doing. They're making decisions today that, mom and daddy sit back and they think, what in the world? Where did that come from? The preacher sits back and he's watched his flock and he's raised them all the way up from a little baby and he's prayed for them and taught them and pled for them and been there for them every time their heart got broke and every time they turn around and it seemed like they just all of a sudden make the most harebrained decision you ever saw. They'll fool around and just all of a sudden file for divorce, leave their mates, leave their kids, do this and do that. And you wonder, what? Where did that come from? Well, it didn't come from God. But it might have been allowed by God. You know, you do enough, long enough, God will say, I'll just let you do what you want to do. He'll turn you over. And so they make these impulsive decisions. They don't think about their kids. They don't think about the church. They don't think about the pastor. They don't think about his wife. They'll just say anything. They'll do anything. And it's all about to satisfy the sins of their heart.
Right.
Now this is Saul's life. This is what he did. And then God brought an evil spirit upon him. You don't have to go out and buy a Ouija board and watch horror movies and stay up all night with Friday the 13th. You just simply do this and you better watch out. Notice in chapter number 15, let me give you another one. Look in verse number 3. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant, suckling ox, sheep, camel, ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Canaanites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of the Egypt. For the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused that they destroy utterly. Now, is that what he was told to do? Absolutely not. Look in verse number 18. And the Lord sent thee on the journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore they didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. Not only was Saul self-willed and stubborn and impulsive, but he was irresponsible. Now, you would think, well, we're all at times irresponsible. But Saul is irresponsible. Saul was instructed to wipe them all out. He was instructed to destroy every last thing. And he didn't do what the Lord told him to do. And when he's called out about it, he blames the people instead of taking the responsibility. Now, does that sound like a Christian? He blames the people. He will not stand up and say, all right, I made a mistake. This was my problem. Today you can't get nobody to claim nothing. And their homes are destroying and they're running by the ways of devil. And you say, well, you know, you need to do it. Well, it's their fault. Well, it's his fault. Well, it's her fault. Well, it's this person's fault. Well, it's my in-law's fault. It's everybody else's fault except the person involved. By the way, that's an irresponsible. You know, it's a good day when you just own up to it. It's a good day when you just accept it like it is and say, all right, look, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. But no, we got a Baptist shovel that's the size of 10 miles wide. We want to blame everybody and everything. And Saul was the same way. I'm not showing you anything that's so out there that you wonder why he got an evil spirit. It's just simple little stuff. Simple little stuff. He was just irresponsible. He was stubborn. He was repulsive. He was self-willed. He just simply wanted to do what he wanted to do. He was impulsive. Look here, I'll show you another thing. Look in chapter number 13. Verse number 11, Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established the kingdom upon Israel forever. Look in chapter 15, verse number 3. Now go and smite the Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, ass. And we know that he didn't do that, right? Look in, verse number 7. Verse number 7, it says that he went in there, and we already read it once where he didn't do that. Now here's my point. What brought this entrance of an evil spirit? Disobedience. Disobedience. Do you realize it is disobedience that drove the whole human race into its fallen nature? Just simply didn't do what God told them to do. And disobedience in Saul's life brought about this entrance of an evil spirit. How shallow we are sometimes, and how fearless or fearful less we are sometimes when it comes to obeying God. We don't think nothing about it sometimes. We'll just do what we want to do. But God said, I know what God says, but this is what I'm going to do. You better be real careful about doing what you want to do. Because the next thing you know, your life might be in a mess. The only thing keeping us together right now is the wonderful grace of God. Amen. And without Him, every one of us would be a bankrupt sinner. Every one of us would be on our ways to hell. Every one of us would not have nothing in this life. But because of your disobedience or my disobedience, simply an evil spirit has begun to influence, has begun to affect, has begun to motivate you in the wrong way. Let me show you one more. Chapter 15, verse 22. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry.
Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's what we've been talking about, evil spirit. Stubbornness is as sin and idolatry, which is motivated by evil spirit again. And so rebellion has become so prominent in this generation. It's pitiful. Nobody, everybody wants to rebel. You can plead with them. You can beg them. You could scare them. It don't matter. They're just going to rebel. You better be careful. You might open up the door for an evil spirit in your life. See, that's where it all starts. It just don't happen overnight. It just didn't happen over a weekend. It didn't happen over an argument. It happened because of all of these little things in your life. And then all of a sudden, your life is being motivated and pushed around and influenced by an evil spirit. What a sad state. What a sad state. Our young people today don't know anything about respect, but they know everything about rebellion. Now, I was young too, just a few years ago. 4 or 5. I had my share of rebellion too. And everybody in here did. It's a crying shame when we're still doing it. You better be careful. Now we notice the existence of an evil spirit and the entrance of an evil spirit. I want us to notice thirdly the effects of an evil spirit. Do you think you ain't harming nobody but yourself? Well, that's a lie out of hell. Right. Let me show you what happens. Look in chapter 18. Now, this is after Saul has been given an evil spirit. Chapter number 18. Verse number 1. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, and that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. When Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabret and with joy and with instrument of music. And the women answered one another, and they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David is 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me have ascribed but 1,000. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Let me show you what an evil spirit, the effects of it. It'll make you resent those who are on your side. Now, David was not after Saul's kingdom. David behaved himself wisely. He done everything right. David didn't have anything to do with the women coming out and praising him and praising Saul. Saul got himself in that mess. Understand that? And because of this evil spirit, now he is resenting those who are on his side. For you know it, this evil spirit has affected you. And now all of a sudden, mama's your enemy. Now all of a sudden, daddy is your enemy. Now all of a sudden, the pastor is your enemy. Now all of a sudden, the people in the church that have loved you and prayed for you is become your enemy. When it is so far from the truth. That's what an evil spirit will do to you.
all of a sudden you start eyeing other people and you start getting jealous of this, and you start getting envious of this, and you start resenting those who are absolutely on your side. Let me give you a second one. Look in verse number 20. And Michael's, or Michal's, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. Now, this effect, it'll make you resent those who are on your side. It'll make you repay those who are closest to you. Now, Saul is using his own daughter to try to get back to David. Now, that's about as low as it's going to get. Who would have thought? There's a few people in the Bible I'd just like to pull out and just beat the mess out of. And Saul was one of them for that right there. Another one would be Lot when he offered his two virgin daughters over those angels when they come into Sodom. He ought to have been drug out in the streets and horse beat. Amen. But see, it'll make you even use those that are with you to try to get back to somebody else that's even on your side. Here's what happens. Next thing you know, you've started using a sibling to get back to mama. You've started using one of the preacher's kids to get back to the pastor. This is good stuff. Now, I know we're not swinging from the chandeliers. Right. But I'm going to tell you, this will help you.
Right. Yeah.
It'll make you repay those who are closest to you. He wasn't worried about his daughter. He's worried about getting back to David. What kind of father would be that way? One that is being influenced and motivated by an evil spirit. Chapter 20, verse number 27. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city. And my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now I have found favor in thine eyes. Let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman. He needs a look in the mirror. Amen. Rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and under the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? Now listen, here's what an evil spirit, the effects it'll have. It'll make you resent those who are on your side. You'll repay those who are closest to you, but it'll make you rip apart your own family. The home and the marriage outside of the church is the greatest thing. Really, apart from the church, is the greatest thing. That was first instituted by God.
Amen. Right.
But nowadays, homes are being destroyed. They're ripping each other up and down. Oh, they're causing havoc.
Right.
Why? Because of an evil spirit, that's why. Oh, they must have messed around with the cults and Satanism. No, you just might have fooled around too much with disobedience and rebellion. Amen?
Right,
Chapter 20, verse 33.
And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Wow. It'll make you retaliate and hurt those you love and that love you. He threw a javelin at his own son. Now, whether he'd done it just to be mean and tried to scare him or actually tried to pin him against the wall, I don't know. But why would you want to hurt the ones you love? Why would you want to hurt the ones that love you? I'll tell you why. An evil spirit. An evil spirit. Look in chapter 23. Verse 7. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hand, for he is shut up or shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Look in verse 13. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Zip. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Zip in the wood. Verse 24. And they arose and went to Zip before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain of the south of Jeshimon. And Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on the side of the mountain, and David and the and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for the fear of Saul. And Saul and his men could pass David and his men round about to take them. Chapter 24, verse number 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And then Saul took 3,000 chosen men. I could keep reading on right here. You can look in chapter 26 in the first three verses, and you're going to find the same identical thing. It'll make you relentless to those you think you are your enemy. Now, David had 600 men. Saul takes 3,000 men to go try to kill David. And when he finds out he's moved, he takes it up and goes there. When he finds out he's moved, he takes it up and he goes there. When he finds out he's moved, he takes it up and goes there. When he finds him on the side of the mountain, he tries to come back. Every single day it become a single part of Saul. That's all he cared about. Made him relentless. Let me give you another one. Look in chapter 28. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. I'm going to tell you what an evil spirit will do. It'll ruin your access to God. When it come down to a very dire need in Saul's life, instead of doing this and doing that, he finally turns to the Lord, and the Lord says, too late. You've went far enough. I'm going to let you go on. Now, that's ought to scare the daylights out of us. I mean, we always run down the altar. We know God's there, going to forgive us, and all things. Everything's going to be just hunky-dory, but hey, you keep fooling around with the evil spirit in your life, and you keep letting it influence you and keep on and on and on. It might just simply ruin your access to God. Forget about ruining your access with your parents. Forget about ruining your access with your pastor. You ruin your access to God, you're in trouble. One more. Chapter 28, verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. I tell you what an evil spirit will make you do. It'll make you reach for those who have a familiar spirit. Why is it when somebody gets in trouble and they're crossways with God, they go over here and they find somebody else that's in the same shape or worse than they are? Because that's what an evil spirit will make you do. When they ought to be talking to somebody that's going to be a help to them, they confide and they talk with somebody that's possibly dealing with the same things. Now, if you was in your right mind, you'd have never went to that person. Before all this ever happened in your life, you'd say, well, you know, I would never go to them for advice. Now all of a sudden things has changed, and now you're seeking advice from those who have the same familiar spirit. You say, preacher, you've scared us all to death tonight. What do we need to do? Well, very simple. If you're here tonight, now I'm not saying you're possessed. I'm not saying that you're the worst Christian in the world. I am without a shadow of a doubt, there is no telling how many of us here tonight are being influenced and motivated and pushed by an evil spirit. You say, what do I need to do? Well, first of all, you got to realize it. And after you realize it, you need to repent about it. And then you can restore about it. You fool around, you might lose your home. You might lose your children. You might lose your job. You might lose your testimony. You might lose everything in life simply because you would not realize it, you would not repent, and you would not restore. Now, there's every one of us, whether we're facing that tonight or not, every one of us knows somebody that is. I've got those in my family. You've got those in your family. And they are being influenced. They're being motivated by an evil spirit. Somebody needs to intercede on their behalf. And this will be a good time to do it. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Our altars are open tonight. If you'd like to come, maybe you need to pray for somebody. Maybe you need to say, hey, stop some things in your own life and say, look, I got to be careful here. I got to be careful here. There might be some things here that's really getting out of hand in my life.